This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is the biggest thing about a lot of these cases, Stan, where it's not just one person who sees something weird, but other people seeing something similar. Go ahead, Stan Gordon.
Again, I'm just giving you some examples of probably the hundreds of cases I've worked on among the thousands of where these are very detailed reports. These are the kind of cases that a government should be investigating along with the military sightings, because these things are going on all the time. We've had some very interesting activity in the last week, again, a lot of it this year, which we'll talk about as well. But just going back in history a little bit here, some of the cases I've looked into. In August 12th of 1986, in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Monroeville, about 8:30 in the morning, witness reports seeing a large, solid, cigar-shaped object, fat and rounded out, hovering over some trees behind the Monroeville Mall complex. It moved towards the mall and hovered about 200 feet over the roof of a store. The size of the object describes the length of three school buses, completely silent. That afternoon, a similar sighting was reported about 30 miles away. In February of 88, this is between two counties, Cambria and Somerset County, between 7:45 and 8:30. A number of reports from various witnesses in about a 10-mile area in the near the area of Blau, where people observed an object as big as a house hovering over a body of water. Object was solid appearance, about 60 feet long, with two rows of colored lights that did not blink. The object hovered about 50 feet over the water, within 100 feet of several witnesses. At one point, bright spotlights from the object were directed towards a wooded area. That same evening, in the vicinity of the McNally Bridge, other cars stopped after a large object rose up from beneath the bridge and rose to the height of the bridge. One witness I interviewed was only about 150 feet from the object. He said the object looked like a metallic football, about 50 to 60 feet long, about 25 feet wide. There were various colored lights on the object, including five or six laser lights emitted from the front. And the witness says he was amazed that the object had no wings or propellers and hovered with no sound. And then another witness that evening near Davidsville said what he saw would look like a small cruise ship in the sky. He said the object passed directly in front of him, only about 20 feet away. He said it was a solid object, looked like a football with tapered ends. I mean, again, what you don't hear is we're getting more reports in populated areas and over major cities. In May of 1989, in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Squirrel Hill, which is a very populated area, two witnesses stopped in at a restaurant around 3 in the morning to get something to eat. As they drove down about a block away near Whitman Street, they noticed this large, in this case, a very large, very luminous bright object hovering over the intersection of Beacon and Whitman. The driver was so shocked that he stopped the car and got out to look directly at it. The first thought was that it was a blimp, but as they watched it, they realized this object was more elongated, was brightly illuminated in a white glow. Toward the bottom of the object were three large red lights that appeared to be connected. The silent object that had been hovering for several minutes did not move off, but seemed to suddenly just vanish away and disappear. And they made a police report on it, which I have a copy of it. And these sightings go on and on. And here's one, you know, everybody heard about the Phoenix Lights, but we had an incident that was a very big investigation done. It was February of 1992. This is near Williamsport, Pennsylvania. This involved numerous witnesses that took place right around metropolitan Williamsburg and surrounding areas. It was covered in the local newspapers. I was amazed it never made national news, by the way. And the series of sightings took place late in the afternoon. One or possibly more than one very large boomerang, a triangular object. Reports were that this thing had an estimate of maybe hundreds of feet in length. The object at times was moving so slowly that people who were nearby, moving actually underneath it, people walking underneath it, they were able to keep up with the pace. It was moving that slowly at the time. Most UFO reports, there's no sound. But in some cases, we do have reports of sound. In this case, this thing made a very loud rumbling sound, almost like a train coming up through the area, but there was no train around there, and people were running outside to see what was making the noise to see this large object in the sky.
Any possibility that some of the UFOs that make a sound are not UFOs, but test aircraft of some sort.
If you're going to test an aircraft when the government has hundreds of miles restricted airspace, why would you be doing it over a very highly populated area in the afternoon? By the way, there was more to it, so I began to make a lot of contact with different sources. I talked to the dispatcher at the state police barracks, and they said they had received numerous reports of a large low-level object. I spoke with an air traffic controller at the Williamsport Lycoming Airport at the time. He handled about 20 calls from the public, and he told me he had contacted the Harrisburg Approach Control to see if they were working any military aircraft or were aware of any aircraft in the area at the time. They were not. It was also told that nothing unusual showed up on local radar. So whatever this thing was, it still remains a mystery. And there was a lot of investigation done. And one of the fellows that did the investigation, who is now deceased, was a former military officer and an engineer. And he did quite an extensive investigation also down there.
The question I would have here is, and maybe an assumption too, we're assuming the military would be decent enough before they send their test aircraft to notify the local airports and local officials. But if they wanted to see how we'd react to it, they wouldn't necessarily do that. They'd be more interested in public reaction to the presence of this craft than any of the niceties of being good people.
And that's a possibility, and we can't say 100%, nor do we say that this thing is something completely unidentified or something extraterrestrial, because we don't know that. But this was a very interesting report. There was a lot of investigation I know done from the investigators down that area who was very familiar with aircraft and technology. It was quite an interesting case with a lot of people involved.
It just seems like, for the most part, the authorities, military, what have you, really don't seem to be too interested in looking too deeply into these reports, unless they're just, you know, secretly doing it behind the scenes, or unless, like recently, there's a lot of press coverage.
Yeah, and again, you know, that's something I've always wondered, like, why aren't you investigating? It's not just the cases I've investigated. You have multitudes of cases, I guess, all over the country and around the world. And again, I can't remember exactly what we talked about in past shows because I do a lot of them. And one of the things is what I call mini UFOs. And I think this is a very important thing because this is a part of the UFO subject that so many people are not aware of. And I've been investigating these cases since the 1960s. They're ongoing. And these are so fascinating because these are not objects in the sky. These objects come very close to people. They're low to the ground. I've had incidents where they've actually entered people's homes and cars through open windows and floated out and went out the window, or actually through walls sometimes in people's homes. They've been going on for years and years. And now these objects, the smallest ones are about an inch or two in diameter. Some people describe them looking like oversized fireflies. Mm. But majority of them, they're about a foot or two in diameter. And they're sometimes solid metallic, but in other cases, they're just bright, luminous sources of various colors. And again, there's some variations in that, and they're not always spherical, but majority of times they are. And I can give you a great example of what happened just a few years ago of another case, too. These small spheres of light are very intriguing, and we may have talked about this before, but the incidents I investigated here in Pennsylvania in the 70s were very similar to what we later heard about the Skinwalker Ranch, but now places all over the country, including Pennsylvania, where there's ongoing phenomena of different types, where the phenomena seems to target for whatever reason. When you have this outbreak, you quite often have various types of anomalous events, from these small spheres of light to UFOs to Bigfoot to other cryptids, to all kind of strange phenomena, electromagnetic effects. And these balls of light are most intriguing, but also in more recent years, throughout the country and again in Pennsylvania, Bigfoot researchers who are out in areas investigating Bigfoot sightings where they have a history of Bigfoot encounters, they're reporting seeing these small spheres of light or other type of light phenomena close to the ground. And we have some fascinating cases over the years I've investigated which ties in Bigfoot with these small spheres of light. And during that major wave of Bigfoot sightings in 1973, one of the cases north of Pittsburgh, would have been September of 73. And there were two witnesses out in the country.
Let's break it here and find out more with Tim, Stan, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25% to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Out in the country, two witnesses. What do they see, Stan Gordon?
All right, so these two people are waiting for a friend to pick them up. They see this 7-8 foot tall, hair-covered Bigfoot with white hair, by the way. And again, you on occasion hear about the white hair-covered creature, but not that often. So it's running across the road towards the woods, but in one of its hands is carrying a small sphere of light. And as it runs off into the woods, soon after, this object comes across the sky, projects a beam of light down into the woods where this creature ran into. So that was always a fascinating case. And here, in just in the last few years, outside of Pittsburgh, and where we're getting calls from other people in the last couple of years that live in the same general area that don't even know about other reports from there. So this is May of 2019. And this fellow gets up in the middle of the night, looks out his kitchen window. It's around 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's well illuminated. There's a lot of lighting outside. And he sees a smaller Bigfoot, and on occasion we get reported these smaller ones are about 4 to 5 feet tall. And he sees this creature, small one, dark hair, long hair in the head and the back area. It's walking upright. The arms are extended down below the knees. The arms are swinging. And he watches this creature enter a certain area going into the woods. About 3 seconds later, in that exact location where the creature went into, a bright sphere of light, about 3 to 4 inches in diameter, suddenly appears. And that witness said that it looked something like, if you look right to the front of a flashlight, it would look like that, but it was about 4 feet above the ground. That light moved a short distance for a few seconds, then vanished. About 4 to 5 seconds later, that light appeared again about 10 feet away, and the small sphere emitted a bright beam of light about 10 to 12 feet long. For a few seconds, it vanished and disappeared, and he never saw anything else again. Those are the kind of things that are going on. But these small sphere reports are so amazing. One of my research associates, Jim Brown, up in Fayette County. So this would be now in November of 2019. This is up around Mason Town. He interviewed a fella that afternoon around 4:30. That this fella is riding down the road. He comes over the rise of a hill, and he sees this ball on the road just sitting there. He said it was about 2 to 3 feet across. It was blocking a road. Well, he couldn't drive there without moving the ball, so he didn't know what this thing was. He said he sat there for a minute, decided to get out and move it, but he said when he opened the car door, it suddenly began to physically fade away. He said in a few seconds, it just vanished and disappeared. It never moved. It just faded away, and it was gone. These cases are just startling what goes on, and you never hear about these reports.
That's very interesting here, too. Now, in the old days, we had local newspapers, and we still have some. But most of the newspapers have been taken over by large conglomerates. Where they exist, they primarily depend on digital versions with paywalls for their circulation. So the coverage of these cases may not have been so terrific back in 1970 or something, but in 2019 it's almost impossible, isn't it?
Well, the whole situation is this. I receive reports all year round, every year, including many again recently. The majority of people, even today, they come from all walks of life, and some of these people are very prominent. They have important positions. They still want no publicity. Even though they're more willing to talk about it, they're not ready to go public. So these people don't go to the newspapers, and that's one of the main reasons that you don't hear about a lot of these cases in the news.
And you don't really have local newspapers the same way, which is what I was pointing out. A lot of times, even when a newspaper exists covering a small town, they've cut back on staff, and they don't have the people to handle this kind of coverage.
Well, that's basically true, but I can tell you, in my general area, we still do have some local papers. The newspapers locally around here have always been very supportive of my investigations, even the last couple of years. Some of these papers have done some very extensive, very detailed interviews with me in the investigation. So luckily in this area, we still have pretty good coverage.
Well, of course, here we have the Phoenix area. Supposedly, based on different studies like Cheryl Costa's statistical study of cases, I'm living Maricopa County, Arizona, in a hot spot of UFO activity. But the local paper is the Arizona Republic, which is owned by Gannett, a large newspaper chain. And a lot of the coverage is not local. It's just stuff from the national papers. And you don't get any of this. It's like nothing happens. Well, that certainly elicited a great reaction. But you see, where you are, Stan, you have small towns, you have small town papers.
Yes, we have large papers and we have small towns. And again, in this area, at least over the last few years, some of the papers have continued to do some very good research, and they've done some very good interviews. And so at least the public is aware that there's sightings still going on. But again, these sightings go on all the time, all year round. And I don't know if I mentioned this last time we talked or not, but earlier this year, we had quite a significant wave of UFO sightings in the greater Pittsburgh area. And this went on kind of late February through March. A lot of this was in daylight, and a lot of it was in very populated areas. And just to give you an idea about some of the things that were going on, in March, there were three white circular lights seen in the Triangular Formation in Cambria County. There were reports of triangular-shaped objects reported in different locations. A large black rectangular object reported in Bedford County. Reports of large glowing spherical objects seen at low level and close to homes. Bright objects moving straight up to the sky and disappearing. Sightings of small spheres of light close to the ground in some areas. Residents were reporting from different areas unusual luminous objects being recorded on their game and security cameras. And I talked with other researchers that I know around the area. One of them was Dan Hagman up in Butler County. And Dan had told me that during March, they were receiving multiple reports of fireballs and spheres over Butler County. So here's just an example of a few of the reports that he got. On March 2nd, he had reports of three shiny silver spheres moving west to east in a straight line. They looked shiny, silver in color and glowing. They looked equally spaced and were moving very fast. On March 8th, a witness observed a shiny, bright, cigar-shaped object in the morning sky. Sky was clear with fluffy clouds around. The object did not appear of any wings or tail section. The witness indicated the object was so bright he had to squint his eyes to view it. The witness, who was very familiar with aircraft, stopped his vehicle and got out to get a better look. The object moved into a cloud, but it never exited. And by the way, that's something that's been going on in more recent years. We have more reports, even in daylight, of very large objects that enter cloud formations, and sometimes people sit there for an extended period of time with a camera waiting for a picture, and the object never comes out. That's very interesting. But here's another one of the cases that Dan had March 11th.
Before we go to the March 11th case, let's take a brief pause, a pause that refreshes. I'm copying that from something, as we all know. We have Stan Gordon covering lots of sightings, including those as recent as March of 2021. More to come with Gene and Tim. And Stan, you're in...
Ooh, the Paracast!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
French President Emmanuel Macron has recalled his ambassador to the United States Friday in response to the U.S. and Britain's deal to share submarine technology with Australia. France's Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs confirmed they had called back Ambassador Philippe Etienne. Macron also recalled the French ambassador from Australia. The United States, Britain, and Australia announced a trilateral security partnership, stating its first major initiative will be to deliver a nuclear-powered submarine fleet for Australia. The fleet will not include nuclear weapons. The agreement killed a multi-billion dollar deal Australia had with France. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison denied French accusations that Paris wasn't warned about the possibility of a new deal. This is USA Radio News. Haitian migrants that are seeking to escape poverty, hunger, and a feeling of hopelessness in their home country said the U.S. plans to speedily send them home won't deter them as thousands of people remained encamped on a Texas border after crossing from Mexico. USA Radio Network's Dan Naraki has more.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is calling on the Biden administration to deploy the National Guard to the southern border to help deal with a surge of Haitian migrants. More than 11,000 people are gathered under a bridge outside of Del Rio, Texas. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol announced Friday evening that the Del Rio port of entry was being closed in response to the surge. Fox News reporting that the border checkpoints in the area have been closed as well. The agency says that trade and travel traffic has been rerouted to the Eagle Pass port of entry 57 miles away to help manage resources and keep the flow of legal traffic uninterrupted. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. Exactly according to my plan.
Ooh, that's an interesting imitation from Tim Swartz. Stan Gordon is talking about cases here. This was March 11th of 2021. And to remind listeners, Stan was here in March when all this stuff was going on. Was this covered, before we go into the case itself, by the local papers?
I don't believe anybody did, and I can tell you again why, because I talked to a lot of the witnesses, and most of them were so reluctant to even talk to me about them. They didn't want any publicity. Again, some of these people had important jobs. No, they didn't. But that's what was so fascinating to me, is that you're getting all these reports from different areas. Some of them are close together. These people don't know about the other reports. They're really amazed when you find out other people reporting the same thing. They're coming in from other counties around Pittsburgh. So that's what's so interesting. You have this activity going on for weeks, and it's coming in from so many different people from different locations.
I'm curious, with the early last year especially, with most of the country being quarantined, I mean, did you see a downtick in reports or just the opposite?
Well, I can't say there was an increase, but I can tell you I was really surprised. And I'll go over some of the fascinating cases. But pretty much since 2017, but really my memory serves me, I think about 2019 up to the present, it has been just continuous reports all year round. And 2020 and 2021 has been very busy with Bigfoot sightings, cryptid reports, UFO reports. And again, it's coming in from widespread areas. It's all across the state. But a lot of the activity is here in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's just amazing what goes on. And again, in the last week, there's been some really interesting reports coming in. So we can talk about those later on as well. So do you want me to tell you about that March 11th report?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so up in Butler County, Dan had interviewed a man who was in his kitchen that evening when he began to feel a strange vibration and heard a low rumble. And he realized that the sliding glass door on his deck was vibrating. So he looks out the door, and he sees this very bright, very large, pulsating round object that's just above the trees at the edge of his yard. The light from the object's illuminating his backyard as though it's the middle of the day. He steps out on the deck, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. He felt a tingling sensation. His hair stood up at end, and he had chill bumps on his body. He called to his wife, and he hurried inside to grab a camera. When he came back, it was gone.
Hmm.
So wow. Those are the things that go on. And, you know, I deal with these cases regularly. And I mean, there's hardly a day goes by that I'm not dealing with a UFO sighting, a Bigfoot cryptid report, a current report, or a past report. It's just amazing. And we can't even imagine how much of this is going on. I receive reports, Mew Farm receives reports, National UFO Reporting Center, and there's multiple other smaller groups of individuals here in Pennsylvania that receive reports. We have no idea how much this is going on, and we can't even imagine how much this is not being reported.
I was going to ask, because you probably only get, you know, maybe 1% out of you know, everything that's happening, is there any way to determine if there is any kind of pattern to these sightings, not just UFOs, but, you know, cryptids, what have you? And does it seem like it may start in one area and then radiate outward, or just at times it's just like almost like an explosion where just everything just happens at once?
Well, it's unfortunate because there's never been, as far as I'm aware, there's never been a database where all the reports went into over the years. And again, even to separate the reports, because, you know, again, when I started investigating incidents back in 65 out in the field and been doing ever since, let's put it right up front. Many UFO sightings and cryptid reports and other phenomena, when you properly investigate them, many are determined to be misidentifications, and many are either man-made or natural in origin. So there's a lot of things that look very strange and unusual, but when you take the time to investigate them, you quite often find an explanation. But year after year, I mean, you've heard just a few of the cases I've looked into. You have many cases like this you could not easily dismiss. And these are the important cases. And we haven't even talked about Bigfoot and cryptid sightings in recent years and some of the very weird things that are going on. And I began to see some patterns long ago. It's going on more and more. And what I wrote about in the 70s, now people are starting to take a little more serious look at it, and they're not laughing like they used to. And there have been several books writing about similar findings in recent years that are out there. And it's going on all over the country. And it's fascinating. And it's so unusual. It's so beyond our present understanding. I really believe we're dealing with phenomena that's well beyond our present science. We just don't understand it. We can document it. We can write it down. We can look at comparisons. But I think we're dealing with something that is well beyond our present scientific understanding. And I think that's probably one reason why, with the UFO phenomena, that the government is not more forthcoming, because they know a lot more than they're telling the public, but they do not have the answer themselves. It's a worldwide phenomena. They're not in control of the situation, and I think there's a lot that they don't understand either.
Talking about cryptids and UFO sightings, I mean, we're really treading on sacred ground with both of these different camps. To me, I mean, for a long time, there seems to be obviously a connection. And I know that you got UFO people who are, you know, just like, oh, you know, how can you believe in that Bigfoot stuff? That's crazy. And then you turn around, you know, Bigfoot people saying the same thing about UFOs. Yet we see the two phenomena happening simultaneously in a lot of these locations.
Exactly. You know, we probably may have mentioned some of these cases, but there's people out there that haven't heard these. And it was some of the cases that I investigated in 73 during that major wave that brought to the attention to my team and myself that we're dealing with something we were never expecting to look for. We had no idea that these kind of reports were going to start originating from so many different sources. You know, when I got involved with investigating Bigfoot in the 60s, I mean, I thought from all I knew about it in the history of Bigfoot in Pennsylvania that these were some type of unknown primate. Well, we weren't expecting the kind of cases that turned up during the early 70s. And that, again, that's when I started my group. Luckily, we were around in 73, because first you had that massive UFO wave with hundreds and hundreds. hundreds of UFO sightings all over Pennsylvania from January 1st to the end of the year. And back then, many papers across the state were publishing new UFO stories. So they're out there.
Certain radio stations were also covering UFOs in Pennsylvania. I remember one where I was working at the station in Chester County. And we had studios in Westchester and Coatesville. And in Kennett Square, near Kennett Square, I remember what was in 1973, we had some cases there.
Yes, you did. I remember, I was doing a lot of radio back in those days. Talk radio was just starting in the early 70s, and I was getting a lot of requests to do a lot of interviews for the small town and local radio station around Pittsburgh and other areas. And so, yes, there was actually there was quite a bit of radio coverage and even some TV coverage, if I remember back then. And so all this activity is going on in 73. So in the summer of 73, we have this massive Bigfoot outbreak, the biggest ever been documented. It went on for weeks and months in 1974. And a lot of those Bigfoot sightings were very close range. We're talking 5, 10, 15 feet away from people, in some cases in daylight. Some cases more than one creature seen together. So my teams are out there day and night investigating, and we were on the scene of some of the incidents within minutes after they occurred. This is why we could document it so well. We made many casts of footprints. We gathered all types of different types of physical evidence over the years, but we weren't expecting to see what was about to develop. And one of the first things that began to show up, we began to scratch our heads, was we get out to some of these locations, there'd be a series of these very large, strange footprints with a very big stride between them under all kind of ground conditions, and later in the winter in the snow, and these tracks would just suddenly abruptly stop and disappear, stopped and end, where there should have been more tracks. It made absolutely no sense. And by the way, that's still ongoing the last few years, more and more in the wintertime. And then we began to have other very weird things show up. There was one case where a police officer called me from up out there along the Chestnut Ridge outside of Latrobe Dairy area.
Let us break here, guys, and we'll have more with Stan, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Should point out briefly that Tim Swartz has not given up on writing material on the phenomenon since our friend Tim Beckley died. He's available online at the Conspiracy Journal, okay? Check out the Conspiracy Journal. Where is that located? What's the URL?
It's www.conspiracyjournal.com.
Conspiracyjournal.com. Let's continue with Stan Gordon telling us about all the incredible encounters in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so we're talking about 73. I'm not sure exactly where we left off. Oh, okay, we're talking about the police officer. So anyhow, he calls me and says this man seemed very serious. He was very upset. It was a beautiful afternoon. He and his wife were taking a leisurely little ride out in the country, and then this man said, they're riding down the road, this huge hair-covered creature with long arms walks out into the middle of the road. He tries to slow down, but he said he hit the creature, and upon impact, it physically vanished and disappeared. But there was no damage to his vehicle. That was one of the early reports we were getting as things began to happen. So we had the tracks as abruptly disappeared, vanished rather, I should say, when there should have been more tracks. And then we began to hear reports over the months from people in daylight who were seeing a Bigfoot in a particular location, basically in daylight, as I recall, and it would suddenly vanish and physically disappear and reappear a short distance away. So it vanished and reappear again. And then we began to see that very strange pattern where you have a UFO sighting in a particular area. Within minutes, hours, or days later, you'd have a Bigfoot sighting or vice versa. And then we had some of those incredible, well-documented cases where we have a UFO and a Bigfoot seen together at the same time and place. Now, we probably at some point may have talked about a couple of these cases. These are very detailed, important cases. These are the cases that convinced me and my team, who were very skeptical, a lot of these scientific people, that we're dealing with something that's so unusual and so strange. And let me stress this again. When we're talking about the UFO and Bigfoot association, I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to prove, that we're dealing with extraterrestrial spacecraft and that Bigfoot, whatever these things might be, that they're piloting or they're flying around in spaceships on another planet, because we don't know what we're dealing with. I said years ago, from the data that I'm seeing, we may be dealing with more than one origin to the unknown category of the UFO phenomena. The more I know about the phenomena we're dealing with, and the more I know about Bigfoot and UFOs and other cryptids, I think a lot of this phenomena is somehow all interconnected. There's a physical and a non-physical component to it, and for lack of a better term, it might be interdimensional. And there's so many cases we have for this now, and again, it's not just my case in Pennsylvania. It's all over the country and around the world. Other researchers are coming up with the same things now. If you'd like me to tell you about some of those classic cases, they're very intriguing.
How about delivering a few, okay? And by the way, folks, when Stan appears on our premium show after the Paracast, I'm going to have him focus on these possible solutions such as interdimensional, because that is fascinating in and of itself. Go ahead, Stan.
Okay, well, among all the cases that we looked into, and this is just one of many different incidents that happened during that time, this was a case that happened up in Fayette County, which, again, you've heard me mention that. It's up in the area where the part of the Chestnut Ridge, some of these locations. But this case occurred in a rural area outside of Uniontown, Pennsylvania, October 25th, 1973. I got a call about 10:30 from a state trooper from that barracks who asked me if I could send a team up there as soon as possible. They had just come back from investigating this incident, and he believed there was something still up on the farm. It's late, but we did. We got our team together. We got all our equipment together, and we packed up and found our way up to Fayette County, and we were up there much of the night, the early morning hours. What we found out was there was about 15 witnesses in that farming community that sees this object. Now, this object is a big red sphere, about as big as a barn. It's about 100 feet off the ground, and it's hovering and is slowly beginning to move downward. This is out on this farm. Primary witness was the son of the farmer who was just coming down the farm road to go visit his family, and he sees this thing in the sky, and he sees other people looking at this thing. He goes to a higher location to get a better look, and this big round sphere looks like it's going to land on his dad's farm. So there were two young boys up at that location. He and those two boys decide they want to go up and see what this thing is. Before they proceeded up to that area, up to the pasture, they stopped over the farm. He grabbed a .30-06 and some ammunition. And he didn't know at that time, but within the live ammunition, he had two tracer bullets. So, again, the hunters that hunt, you know, you just get that luminous trail where you can see the trajectory of that munition as it's moving across the sky. Anyhow, as they're moving down towards the pasture in their vehicle, they notice high-pitched whining noise, baby crying sounds, and something like that, and the dogs right away are just going crazy around the area. So they finally make it down towards the area where the pasture is. They angle their truck, and they leave their headlights on so they can see their path going up the hill. But as they're going up the hill, they look back and they realize that something appears to be draining the power from the headlights, that they had never noticed that before. Anyhow, they finally make their way up to the pasture, and they're standing there because they can't believe what they're seeing. But that large object is now on the ground or right above it. But now it's not this complete sphere they saw originally. It's like a half a sphere, like a big white dome about 100 feet in diameter that's illuminating the area, making that loud whirling sound. And they're standing there trying to figure out what this thing is. But then they notice about 75 feet away is this barbed wire fence. And moving in a direction along the barbed wire fence are these two tall, hair-covered creatures. The one in the front, the biggest one, is about 8 feet tall. The one behind is about 7 feet tall. They're covered with long, dark, I believe, kind of brownish-grayish hair. The arms are so long, they're hanging down almost to the ground. They have no neck. They have large, they estimate it about the size of a 50-cent piece. They have large, luminous, green, glowing eyes, and they're making that whining, crying baby sound. Well, the one kid's so frightened, he ran out of the field, and found his way home. The other boy yells to the older fellow to shoot at them, which he finally does. His first shot's a tracer. He just had that luminous trail. He fires the second tracer, and when he does, the largest of the two creature makes this loud whining crying noise, reaches out as though to grab the tracer. At the same time it happens, that large luminous object vanishes and disappears. It doesn't rise from the ground and take off. It's just physically gone. The sound stops, and most of the luminosity is gone. The creatures turn around, start walking back along the fence line towards the woods. The guy starts opening fire with his 30-06, which is quite a high-powered weapon. He's been hunting for years. He said, I have no doubt I hit these things. He was mainly focused on the biggest creature. And for years and years, and up to the time he passed away, he always would say to me, he said, I'll never forget that thing, that great big creature with those glowing green eyes just staring at me as I'm pumping live ammo into it, and there's no response from the creature whatsoever. It doesn't appear to be wounded or hurt whatsoever. They just keep running. That creatures keep walking towards the woods. The two fellows run out of there. They go back to the truck. They go back to the farmhouse. They take the family to a neighbor, and they call the state police. When the troop arrives, about 45 minutes later, the witness just says, just forget about it. You're going to think I'm crazy. And the trooper said, we had a report of two similar creatures on a mountain last night. I have to go up to investigate. So they go up into the field in the police car, and they're looking around for evidence. Again, this is the shorter part of the story without getting into the whole thing. It gets weirder and weirder. I read the whole thing up in my Silent Invasion book about these things. It was crazy stuff at the time. And anyhow, the trooper told me the area where the object was on the ground was self-luminescent and glowing, about 100 feet or more in diameter. He said that glow extended up about a foot off the ground. The farm animals wouldn't enter into it. He was certain if he had a newspaper, he could have read the newspaper from the glow coming off that area. Well, they went back to the police station, back to the barracks, and I was told both the trooper and the witness were both separately interviewed in two different rooms. Then they called me to send my team up. That was the case, but that was the case that really stood out that made us realize, my team and I realize that we're dealing with something here that's much stranger than we had ever realized. This, you know, we weren't looking for anything like this. And then the cases got even stranger. And it's another case that's even much more unusual. It was the case that convinced me, and I think some of my other research members too, that we're dealing with something again that's more than just a physical unknown phenomenon. We're dealing with something that's physical and non-physical. And if you want me to discuss it, I'll be glad to.
You know what? Let's do that in our next segment. We have Stan Gordon, longtime UFO researcher, dates back to the 60s when he set up a telephone hotline to receive UFO reports. We have Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.